Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhood Shows presented by Mel Hamilton Ford. My name is Phil Nightingale. I'm the general manager and Josh Proffitt, our service director. Morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Exciting day here at the Big Corner. And excited for everybody to tune in and watch the show. And remember, everybody, it's a call-in show, 316-462-3673. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, whatever it might be. But most importantly, we're going to have a special guest here join us in just a few seconds, Ron from Renegade. He's here. You got all kinds of information to share with us and stuff, and excited to have him on board. But, you know, Josh, we give away that $130 package, but I think everybody kind of might know what that package is. We'll talk about it here in a little bit. Let's get Ron going on the phone since he's here already. Ron, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for the great partnership with Renegade.
Glad we can be with you this morning.
Well, anyway, Ron, we're new to Renegade, and a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, are also new to Renegade. So let's just kind of talk to me. It's more than just fuels that we have here. It's in stock here at Mel Hamilton Ford, but I think the main thing is everybody kind of knows Renegade for your fuels. But how about just a little history of Renegade and kind of what Renegade's about and all that good stuff, too?
Sure, that'd be great, Phil. Yeah, Renegade, essentially we're the third largest manufacturer of race fuels here in the U.S. Everybody knows the big two, Sunoco and BP, but they're not as familiar with us. We were founded by Toby Baptiste, who's our owner and founder, and we are a division of Valor Oil Company here in Owensboro and Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our headquarters are actually in Bowling Green, and we have blend plants in both facilities. And that's one of the unique things about us. We do manufacture all of our own fuels. It's not a repackaged product. It is designed and built by us. So our formulations are unique. And we feel like that's what separates us apart. We are racing fuels and lubricants. And we have a car care line. And one of the unique things with Renegade is from the humble beginnings of Toby putting this company together, it's always been focused on the sportsman racer. And that's where our focus remains 30 years later here today. Is focusing on the sportsman racer. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have our share of professional racers and support some professional teams, but, you know, that takes money to do that, and somebody's got to pay for that, and that usually ends up being the racer, and that's just not who we are. So, you know, we want to manage, keep our prices reasonable, and we figure, you know, if the racers are out racing, they're buying fuel, and that's more profitable than sitting in the stands watching the pros run on free fuel. So that's kind of who we are in a nutshell, and be glad to talk about our product line today.
Beautiful. Hey, everybody listening to, it's a call-in show. If you want to talk to Ron about any questions about Renegade, any of their products, he's here to answer your questions too. So 316-462-3673. And anything that you want to questions that Ron, I know Ron's got the information, can help you understand what fuels to run, what cleaners to run, what oils to run, that kind of thing. So if you're listening and got a question for Ron, dial us up, and you know that'll come into the main line at the dealership. The girls answer the phone. They'll patch you into the show, and you can ask Ron a question. And just for answering that question, you're going to get that price package by over $130 for each and every caller from that part. So let's get the phones ringing, 316-462-3673, and jump on Facebook Live or jump over YouTube and subscribe for us. We'd greatly appreciate that. And Brett Hudson, my 2017 Explorer just hit the milestone of 100,000 miles. Must be maintaining it right. Anyway, so Josh, you got any questions for Ron since you're kind of really new to Renegade?
Definitely very new to Renegade. So how long have you guys been in business, Ron?
We've been in business just right at 30 years now. So based out of Bowling Green, like I said, our founder's been in the business a little bit longer than that. He was with one of the other major fuel companies and then took this thing out on his own just because felt like there was a need to make some fuels a little bit different, a little bit better.
Yeah. And so surely somebody at Renegade who started this deal, got the ball rolling, was a racer, obviously.
Yeah, that's why I say our founder, Toby Baptiste, got started with his dad at a real young age. And that's actually what kind of got him into it. They had some challenges with race fuel, and the people that were supplying it didn't want to stand behind some product that wasn't performing right. And they just decided that, hey, we can fix this.
We're going to do our own thing.
Absolutely.
So what is the most popular product that you guys have?
Well, we're popular in two different formats. One is on our automotive side with our Pro Series fuels. That's our non-oxygenated line. Everything from the 110 plus all the way up to our 120 nitrous blend. All of those fuels are extremely popular, in the bracket world, as well as the NHRA world. You know, Edmund Richardson, Luke Bogacki, you know, all the big names run the Renegade product. top dragster Lynn Ellison, world champion, NHRA side, Jeremy Mason, Super Gas world champion on Renegade side, all on our Pro Series fuel. Then we jumped to our power sports side. We started in the power sports in 2010. It was a new entry for us. In the first year of the development of our fuels, we won all three AMA Outdoor World Championships. So with the teams, Geico, Honda, Yoshimura, Rockstar Energy, all of those teams have been with us on and off over the years.
So, Ron, you had brought up a point there on oxygenated fuel. So
I'm going right to the same place.
So explain to our listeners the difference between oxygenated fuel and oxygenated fuel. Guy, I can't spit it out.
I have days I struggle with that myself.
Yeah.
So let's be glad to. The oxygenated fuels, what they do, they have additional chemicals in them that bring extra oxygen molecules into the fuel itself. So the engine needs air to burn the fuel, to combust the fuel. It's all about burning fuel. That's how we make power. The secret's really not in the fuel as much. It is the efficiency of the fuel. So by putting extra oxygen in the fuel, we can add more fuel to the engine because the oxygen's already there to combust it. So the more fuel you burn, the more hot expanding gas you make to push the piston down, the more power output. One of the things that a lot of people miss with oxygenated fuels is everybody's looking for peak horsepower. And you know, I'm as guilty as everybody. We want to see those big numbers on the dyno. But what you really need to look for with oxygen fuel certainly is that top-end gain. But it makes a big difference in the mid-range. And a lot of people miss that. Really moves the torque curve up, really helps accelerate that engine between, you know, from gear to gear. And that can make a big difference in your racing program, even though you may not see huge numbers on top. So definitely, if you've never tried oxygenated fuels, it's definitely, if your series allows it, it's worth trying it sometime.
Well, let's go another thing with a lot of the guys out there with fuel and stuff. What about with guys that still got the catalytic converters on their cars? What do you got? What happens there?
Yeah, with catalytic converters, oxygenated fuels will still work. We just can't run a leaded fuel. So, and that's a great topic there, Phil, because we have a lot of racers. I mean, today the street outlaw scene, as you know, is crazy. These people are making 2,000 or 3,000 horsepower. They've got to have a fuel, and unfortunately, yet still today, it takes a leaded fuel to get that octane up high enough to support that level of cylinder pressure, unless we're just running on straight methanol. So the oxygen sensors, you know, unlike what you read on the internet, if you talk to the real tuners out there, everybody, you can run the leaded fuel. It's not the oxygen sensor that's the problem. It is the catalytic converter. They do not like the lead. It will render them non-reactive and fairly quickly. So yeah, catalytic converter applications, we got to stay in an unleaded product line, but we do have some oxygenated options for them, the Ratman 109, Ratman 98. So all's not lost. We've got the unleaded crowd covered as well.
Anyway, 316-462-3673. We're talking to Ron Finney from Renegade, the tech guy that knows all the tech stuff and everything. If you're out there listening, got some questions about Renegade, they've got a lot of line of fuels, a lot of line of oils and cleaners and stuff like that. Any question, you get the $130 price package for each and every caller calling the show. Call in here, win the package, but get your information you need from Ron and help dial in your car a little bit better, make it run a little faster or whatever it might be from that part. To help there. So 316-462-3673. Let's get the phones ringing and get the questions going here for Ron. So, you know, when you get into the other aspect, and we're kind of jumping around here a little bit too, Ron, you also got a motorcycle line too. We're just now getting into Hoosier's got the new motorcycle tire. We're now getting involved really heavily with the local motocross track out here, Bar to Bar. And there's a lot of questions on motorcycle fuels too.
Yeah, that's our power sports line. And like I said, we've had great success with that. We really feel like we're an industry leader in that and have some of the championships behind it. You know, Chase Sexton just won the AMA East Supercross Championship last year on our products. So we're really strong in that line. And we have products from our MX4, which is designed to be kind of a pour and play. They're all oxygenated. That's going to give you the torque, give you throttle response, really makes a big difference in those smaller engines, the single cylinder engines. And from the MX4, which is a kind of a pour and play design for somebody to be able to go from a pump gas or maybe a 110 to an oxygenated product without having to do a lot of retuning or rejetting. And then we move up into our SX line, SX4, SX2, and SX4 Plus. Those will require some tuning or rejetting. We've got to make sure the MAP can cover the additional amount of fuel delivery they're going to need because the oxygen is going to lean the mixture, but they will make absolutely crazy power for the riders.
And that's on the, just the motorcycle line, correct? On the extra.
Yeah, that's in our, yeah. We call it our power sports line, but yeah, for the motorcycles. And a lot of that, you know, we've got a lot of the four-cylinder guys, the Kawasaki's and so forth that are out there on the drag strips running our power sports line as well.
Yes, and that's something, again, this is all new to us here at Mel Hamilton Ford Racing, and we've got a lot of that in stock for these guys, and, you know, we're going to need some training, too, when the consumers come in to get the right proper fuel, but I think most of these guys kind of might know what they want, but I sure hope that we're answering a lot of these questions online here today and on the live show here, so let's get the phones ringing. Let's get Ron some questions. Might be anything from your motorcycle to your dirt car to your drag car, whatever it might be. And Ron, we've got Nick Roberts in our parts department. He's heavily involved in the drag racing, and I know he runs your fuels from that part and has had some great success with it and some great improved in powers over to the other fuels out there. And he's running a turbo car. So that's one thing. You've got a lineup of everything from the guy running down the street, which we shouldn't say about street racing, but we know what happens, all the way to the supercharger cars to that. I wish I'd know more about this fuel that Nick has that he runs, but he's put it on the dyno and got more torque numbers out of it, more horsepower numbers out of it just by running your fuels. Would you know which fuel that would be that he's probably running?
I don't right offhand. It's probably our 120 blend, 115 or 120 that he's running, or he could be one of our ethanol customers. E85 is extremely popular with the high boost application. Because you get a lot of additional heating from the turbo. Even with an intercooler, you're still putting a lot of heat into the intake air. So keeping the intake cooler, getting the temperatures down, reduces the tendency for detonation, and definitely then means you can crank up the boost and you can crank up the timing and make more power. So we do two levels of E85. We do Pro E85, which is our race grade E85, 85% ethanol every time. It's got a 15% race fuel component to it. So it's going to be consistent. It's not going to be a low-quality product like what you would see in a pump gas E85, where, you know, people have seen some issues with E85 over time where they take the intakes off and they see, like, molasses and gum on top of the pistons and intakes and stuff. That's not an ethanol problem. That's the components that they put with the pump-grade E85. So you talk to the racers that are running race-grade E85, and they have great success with it. And then we do what's called E112. It's still an E85, but it's a leaded version of E85. And the lead's put in the fuel to raise the octane, regardless of all the controversy and people talk about the lubricate valves and stuff. That was really not the intent of lead. It is the best way, most efficient way to increase octane. And that E112, people say you can't do it, but everybody's doing it and everybody's loving it with our E112. And we got guys making 2,000 or 3,000 horsepower on our E112.
You know, for our listeners listening to, you know, can you go a little more detail about what the E85, I guess the components of that E85, why it makes that much more power than regular regular gas? I mean, I guess I'm trying to throw that out there.
Sure. Yeah, that's E85, the ethanol, is more oxygenated. It's about 30% oxygen content over regular fuel. Now, you are going to burn about 30% more fuel. So when you go to an E85, you're going to have to increase the fuel delivery. And if we go back to what we were talking about right at the beginning of the show, the secret to making power is how much fuel can you burn in a given period of time. So even though ethanol burns cooler, as does methanol, you can consume more of it. So the overall amount of heat energy, even though gallon for gallon is less than gas, you're burning a higher percentage of it in a given period of time. So the more fuel you can combust, the more hot expanding gas you make, the more pressure you're pushing that piston down with, which equates into torque and horsepower.
So the E85 is just basically, is it more octane?
That E85, because of the cooling effect, if we're looking at E85, it's got an octane value of around 100. So you see a lot of numbers out there, but it's really around 100. But because of the cooling effect, the cooling effect that we get with the ethanol, it acts like, or it will function more like a 110 or 112 fuel. So that's what allows people with E85 to run 13, 14 to 1 compression. You know, we've seen guys with a 540 big block run 14 to 1 on our race grade E85. So it will perform at a higher level because of that cooling effect. Much like running methanol, which methanol does have a higher octane, just like our E112 gets you up around 115, 116 octane. But it'll perform at a level much higher than that because of the cooling effect.
So one of the questions that I had that you'd briefly touched on a little bit ago was a blended fuel. So what's kind of the advantages of blending fuels, and what blends are you, or what are you putting together to blend a fuel?
Well, that's something that we don't disclose our blend formulation.
Okay.
But you know, here's the thing, the components everybody's using, you know, all of the high quality race fuel companies, and we never slam our competitors. Great. They build a great product. There's sure. no doubt about it. There's room for all of it. We're all buying the same product. What's unique about it is how we put those products together and which one of those chemicals, you know, none of this stuff is gasoline. It's not made with gasoline or pump gas product.
Yeah.
So it's blended, it's chemical based, and we're putting together combinations of the chemicals. And it's like anything, like just like racing. You find that magic thing, or you fine tune a formula and get a performance advantage. And that's where you see with Renegade, we talk about burns cooler, burns cleaner, and more consistent. When you get the right product, it's all about combustion. And that's one of the things we feel that we've got a great handle on. And if we can get all the fuel combusted, that means the engine's going to burn cleaner. If we get all the fuel combusted, we're going to make more power because we're using all of the fuel. And when you get into things like the latent heat of vaporization, just like we were talking about with the alcohol, when you change a liquid to a vapor, you got to add heat to do that. 960 BTUs per gallon if we're talking about water. So that heat is the engine heat. And to change that gas to a vapor, it absorbs heat. So when we burn that fuel, only the vapors burn, not the liquid. We get that change of state, and that's what carries the heat away. So that's where we burn cooler. We burn cleaner. And when you're burning all the fuel, you're not leaving fuel behind. The car is going to be consistent. So when the weather changes, you know, in a lot of races, everybody knows that. You know, we go in, we're running during the day, and then suddenly it gets cool in the evening, or maybe late afternoon, cloud cover comes in, and suddenly the car picks up 200 or 300. That's because there's fuel there to burn. That cooler air is only going to help you if there's fuel there to combust that isn't combusting. Well, if you can get a blend that you're burning 100% all the time, your car is not going to chase the numbers like it does on some products.
Makes good sense on that side of the coin to make sure how it's got to burn. I mean, I've always known that the more fuel you can burn, the better it's going to be. But I always thought there was always that still that same part where you could get to the point where you're going to flood the motor too and not have too much and kill the spark. There's magic window there, yep. Right?
You are absolutely correct. You can only put so much in it or it's going to quit burning. And like I said, you start putting in faster than the engine can vaporize it. That liquid's going to put fire out. It's definitely going to ground those plugs out, and that is not a good thing.
No, that's not a good thing at all from that part. So I guess the next thing is, and we got a caller coming in the phone here, so and I believe it's going to be, Ron, who we got calling in is Nick Roberts. He's our guy in our MH Ford Racing that heads up the drag race side and everything else, too, from that part. And I told him to call in, and it looks like he is going to call in here in a second and talk about his experiences with it. Maybe he's got a couple questions for you too that you can answer for him on his drag car. He's in the middle of building a drag car right now, and we went out last, I guess it was last fall. We got a drag Mustang here on the showroom floor, and we went out to do a situation with the draggy ET thing, and we took out and compared the two cars together and stuff, and from that part. So Nick is really into drag racing pretty hard. I don't know if he can eat, breathe, and sleep it any more than he does from that part. From that standpoint. So it'd be fun. I don't know if he's ever talked to you or you ever talked to him before in the past or not, but it'd be good to have you two guys visit a little bit here about his experiences with Renegade. He's been a big believer in trying to get Renegade here for us for quite a while. And so I'm glad we're finally hooked up with you guys. And Nick, you're live with Under the Hood. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Ron's on the phone here with you. And just tell Ron about what your experience has been with Renegade and that kind of thing. And maybe you got some questions for Ron too, that he can answer or help dial things in a little bit better. But it sounds like we're going to need a little more training for the rest of the guys in the showroom over there, Nick, to help sell their products.
Oh, absolutely. So last 2 years, we ran the Renegade Pro E85. We had played around on the dyno testing it versus two other popular E85s and pump E85. Same boost levels, was able to take the ignition timing quite a bit higher with Renegade, which netted us close to 100 wheel horsepower more on the exact same amount of boost, and dropped our intake air temps. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was pretty considerable, by doing so.
That's awesome.
Gave us a, much more power, much more reliability, cleaned the fuel table up a ton, seemed to really make power. I wish we would have got to try the E112 more. We right at the end of the last season, we played with it a little bit, kind of stayed away from it. Seemed like a lot of the guys that were leaning us that direction was saying it took massive amounts of compression or massive amounts of boost to ignite it. But we didn't really see it that way. We've seen a pretty considerable pickup in power. Same thing, was able to throw a little more timing at it safely.
That's a great comment, Nick, on the E112. It goes back to the misconception everybody has around octane, and they really don't understand what octane is. And that's why we do the fuel seminars around the country and willing to help racers understand that. But we've actually got crate racers down in the South, the crowd that they just feel like a leaded fuel. They grew up with leaded fuel. They won't run anything but a leaded fuel. So they're running E112 at 9-to-1 normally aspirated engine. So, yeah, it absolutely will burn. Certainly, it's got the octane. It's designed for the higher compression, higher cylinder pressures. That's where its sweet spot is. But, yeah, that window, just for everybody's understanding, is way wider than some of those things that are out there on the Internet.
Yeah, it was definitely a very positive experience. Like I said, we tried it versus a few other brands of E85 and was able to pick up from all of them with it. And that's why, like I said, since the day we started running it and testing it, I wanted it here with us and wanted us to be able to give our customers another good fuel source that's for the guys that are just E85 racers too,
Yeah, and we are so excited to have you guys on board because you guys are racers, you understand the race world, you can help the racers out, and that's what Renegade's all about. That's why we do what we do, and we do the seminars, we do the things, and try to get out to help educate the racers, because the more the racers understand, the more successful they're going to be. And successful racers buy a whole lot more fuel than unsuccessful racers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly correct on that, Ron. It's and again, Nick, going back to your situation, you switched to that fuel, but everybody needs to realize, too, you still got to tune these motors to that fuel and tune the things that you did. But you increased your timing, which a lot of people make sure everybody understands what timing does. And basically, the more time you can put into it, the more power you're going to make out of that motor. And you just basically change the timing enough to offset for that better fuel to make that correct horsepower. Is that correct?
Correct. And on turbo motors, 1 or 2 degrees of timing under, that test, we were at like 26 pounds of boost. And we took that motor up well above 40 later in the year. But, 1 or 2 degrees timing on E85 when you're pretty well maxed out is considerably more power. And to get that is a huge safety window also. The more timing you can run it, the more power you can make. But when you have a cushion of ignition sealing, it makes it a lot better of a safety aspect when something can go wrong.
Nick, to go in a little bit, when you talk about pounds of boost, I understand that, but a lot of our listeners might not understand what the 26 pounds of boost and timing is from that part. And then, Ron, if you can kind of touch with, as you get so much boost, is there different fuels you got to change or do differently or not as you increase that boost?
Yeah, it comes down to cylinder. Oh, go ahead, Nick.
No, go for it.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it comes down to the cylinder pressure. When we talk about boost, it's how much pressure we're making in the intake manifold. Normally aspirated engine, the piston goes down, creates a pressure drop, and the air comes down through the throttle body to fill that void. And you can get X amount of air in. But when we can use an external pump, whether it's a supercharger or a turbocharger, we can force the air in. So that means we pack the cylinder full of more air, meaning we can burn a lot more fuel. So that's where the power comes from. And like I said, guys like Nick are out there making 26, 30, 40 pounds of boost. When you put that much cylinder pressure in there, yeah, you need a fuel that is stable. You need a fuel that has enough octane to be able to resist detonation. Because I think, Nick, you alluded to that a minute ago, that 1 or 2 degrees is a big difference. But you got to creep up on it easy at those levels because things can go horribly wrong if the octane protection is not there. Detonation will take that engine apart fairly quickly.
Yeah, detonation on upper boost range is a good way to send the rod south for the winter.
Just a little south, right? Yeah, that's where I was.
So, yeah.
where I was kind of going with this is you take an average guy out there right now and wants to change his fuel and stuff. It's not just pour some stuff in and go. You need to plan and have a good plan of attack of which fuel to put in, what your car is going to do. You know, back in my day racing with the starting out the old small block 350s, you know, carbureted and headers, you know, go through a cam in it and do different things and you still keep pump gas on it. Jack with the timing, your headers and all that kind of stuff. You got to know what you can put on and know what you got to do. And you got to have a real good plan of attack. So I don't know if there's anything say we got a guy just bought a new GT Mustang. And of course, it's kind of like we're going to get ready to do here, right, Nick? Build this one we got. What's some good advice, Ron or Nick, that you could give a guy that just bought a GT Mustang or a new Camaro or whatever that wants to get a little more performance out of it? What's kind of where should he start with some fuels and all that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, the first thing is working with somebody that has the knowledge base to build it, put the combinations together like you folks do. And then on the, you know, the octane, we've got to get the right octane level. And let's just kind of cover that for a second here. Octane, basically, the only purpose of octane is to prevent detonation. So you only need as much as you need. Anything above that, you're really just wasting money. And if you get too high above it, the fuel's designed for higher cylinder pressures and heat, like we alluded to earlier on the 85s. And if you're not making that, you may not combust all the fuel. So it's not going to hurt your engine. You're just not going to make optimum power by having too much octane in it. So that's the key, is looking at the combination. And one of the challenges, particularly today, the good thing for the racers, you know, we've got a lot of high-end technology that's right on the shelf today that wasn't available 10, 15 years ago with all the CNC technology and everything and 3D modeling we can do today. We can build 1,000 horsepower a lot easier than the old days. But what that means is people that may not have the experience are getting some pretty high-end pieces. So that's why it's important to understand the combination you have. So you may take two 5-liter engines, and they may need two different fuels, even though they seem to be about the same level, because of the cylinder design, piston design, and things of that nature changes the combustion process. So that's why we ask you questions when you you check in with this recommendation. Usually compression's one thing, but we need to know, you know, hey, what cylinder head are you running, and is it injected, is it carbureted? Just a few questions that help us make sure we get you into the right product.
So Nick, go ahead, Nick. Sorry for the little bit of delays between our deals, but that's okay. Go ahead, Nick.
We get that comment a lot too, and if people come into the store and they want to jump straight to like an E98 or you know, methanol on a lower horsepower, lower compression engine, and the hardest thing to for some people to understand with the higher the alcohol content typically can make it a harder to ignite fuel. And like when you said with the higher octane race gas can get the same way, you can get to a point where too much is too much and you're going to lose power from that.
You know, this is a test many years ago that BG Products did with me when I started. Like I said, we said on the show many times, I started using BG Products back in 1985, cleaning injectors when the tune port injected cars come out and all that kind of stuff. But BG would come in with a white saucer dish and they'd take some 87 octane and put it on the dish. And then it'd take some, back then it was 9 premium, and you'd ignite it on that white tray. And of course, the white tray on the 87 left just a little bit of residue still there. And plate over on the 93 was black. That's from all the extra additives and octane, everything they would put into there. They were trying to demonstrate if your engine doesn't need that octane, not to burn it, because it's just building excess carbon and soot and stuff inside that engine. But I think today it's not as crucial, like Ron was saying a little bit ago, but it's still crucial to get the right amount of octane in that cylinder for what it needs to make it optimal. And, you know, I'm still sitting back here trying to think about if you got a stock car, you know, is there a Renegade fuel that will help it perform better? Or is it something?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got products for the guys that have a stock car that, you know, when we talk about stock cars today, they make a crazy amount of power compared to the older days. So products like our HR93, it's a 93 ethanol free product, but it's not a pump gas product. So it is a premium product designed for the performance applications that only need about a 93 octane. And then we do the same thing. We move to our 97 and then, for the supercharged Mustangs, and the guys really getting after it, like the 102, and all three of those are unleaded products. No issues with catalytic converters, oxygen sensors, or any of those issues.
Yeah. You know, Nick, I don't know if you know, but we have a tech down at the Quick Lane, and he's got I believe it's an 18 F-150.
Yeah.
It's an 18 F-150, 2.7 liter, four-wheel drive that he has put a tune in and races out there at KID. And here, I don't know, a couple months ago, I happened to walk in the shop there and know she had a transmission laying on the ground. So probably a little bit too much boost there, whatever. But in that stock 2.7, I think all he's done is put a tune in that truck is all he's done. And he launches it in four-wheel drive and then disengages it, gets halfway down the track or whatever from going there. And I don't know, Josh, if you remember how fast he's running, but he's going pretty well with that truck.
Yeah, moving right along.
But I don't know what he's doing for fuel.
I think I seen it run last year and it went like 1270s or something. It was pretty impressive for just a tune and bolt on stuff for sure.
And a 2.7 at that. I mean, years ago, it would have took a V8 to achieve that, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wonder what fuel he's running. And so let's go to that extreme in a minute for either one, Ron or whatever. Stock two, it's a 2018 F-150 2.7 liter V6 turbo truck. And he's put a tune in it. What would be a, is that enough information to give you enough to tell you what fuel he should be burning in that truck?
Yeah, that gets us pretty close because we know he, with the tune, he's turning up the boost on the turbo. So he's going to need to be, conservatively with our 97, but definitely that sounds like that truck was a 12-second truck, our HR-102 unleaded fuel to support that level. And we see that with a lot of the guys with the supercharged Mustangs, the Hellcats, and all the other products that are out there. We see that the 102 and even the European cars, that the 102 works really good in those products.
Gotcha. So, Nick, we're going to need to get with him and see what he's doing there and what he's burning. So now I'm going to go another gear, and I'm going to lean to my personal side of this just for a moment. Josh has got a big old grin on his face already. Ron, I got a 2020 GT500. Don't drive it much. Why? Because it's an investment. It's a nice car and I don't want to tear it up. And by the only time I got to go drive, it's on a Sunday. But when I do go, I hate to tell you what happens to that car. It does get, I'm not a baby in that car, but so I don't want to tear it up and I don't want to slide around and hit a curb because the wheels are very expensive on that car. From that part, I'd make myself cringe if I had to buy one of those wheels. But what should I be putting in that stock GT500? What should be going in that car?
Well, one of the things that we usually start, we ask the customers, what is the factory recommendation on that? So most of those cars are tuned for, 93 to 95 fuel. So I would say with that vehicle, you're going to be in the 90, the P97 was probably a good product for that. Or again, with the performance capability of that car, the 102, the HR-102 would work good as well.
Nick, you make some example writing that down because I didn't from that part. From that standpoint, again, Ron, I just get it out on the weekends, and I think it. Of course, the gas goes pretty fast in that thing. I don't know why.
There's a hole in the tank.
Is that what it is? It's got a hole in the tank. Uh-huh.
Comes out through the bottom of the throttle.
And that's one of the great things about those fuel too, is they've got a great storage life. So again, pump gas that we buy at the gas stations, it's got about a 90-day shelf life. These products have got up to 2-year shelf life. So with the 97s and the 102s, that's the other thing. And even the 93s are great for the classic cars or the collector cars or just the weekend performance cars because you don't have to worry about fuel degradation sitting there for 2 or 3 weeks till you get them out again. And then when you get them out again, they're ready to roll.
Yeah, because that's what I am doing. I am putting a BG product CF5 in that car each time I fill it up with tank because, I might burn a quarter tank on that Sunday, might burn a half a tank, who knows. From that part, and that's what I've been putting in there to store it. And I said I put it away in October. I haven't even begun to get it out yet from that standpoint. So you are right. That fuel is probably the additive I put in there. BG says it's good up for 9 months. So I know I'm pretty good there too. But do I need to really run that thing all the way down pretty low before I start adding your fuel?
No, our fuels will blend with any of the pump gases or whatever. There's compatibility there. Shouldn't be any issues on there. But obviously, the more of our product in, the less of pump-grade product in there, the more robust it's going to be in storage life. But, no, it'll be just fine.
Gotcha. Okay, let's go another step to the dirt track because that's where my, Nick's over there in the drag side. I'm over in the dirt side. And we've been running your competitors' products for quite a while. But is there a way that these fuels can be compared, tested, or anything else like that to compare one another so the consumer can say, this fuel's here, this fuel's there. Has anybody ever done that? I mean, we do it a lot with oils, but I didn't know if that was kind of something we did with fuels.
No, that's a great question. And it happens all the time. We've got engine builders all over the country. You can land some of the bigger guys out there that are dyno in their products, and that's why they're running our products. They're seeing better torque, better horsepower, better combustion. When you look at brake horsepower, brake specific fuel consumption, you know, that's big time. And you know, when you're out there running a lot of laps, if you can cut down the pit stops, we see that a lot with the enduro racing. If they can squeeze better, the more efficient the fuel is, the more efficient the engine is, the less fuel it needs to consume to make that level of power. That's what brake specific fuel consumption is about. And if we can improve those numbers, then that could be, you know, they could eliminate a pit stop in a long race. So yeah, there's a lot of comparative data, and that's coming back to where the Circle Track guys really like our products is the fact that they do tend to run cooler than the competitors. Again, going back to we burn cleaner and more consistently because we consume all the fuel. So a lot of our guys, we tell them, you know, when you switch products, if you're moving from our competitors to ours, you'll notice the plugs will get a little bit lighter gray, and the exhaust will get a little bit lighter gray. That doesn't mean you're lean. That means your combustion's improving most of the time. Now, you want to keep an eye on it. You know, if a racer's got a really lean tune and then moves in, you know, it might go slightly lean. But here's the thing. You mentioned earlier when we talked about combustion, one of the things I talk about in our seminars is if you see a house that's, you know, half burnt, caught fire and half burnt, what color is the wood on the house that you see?
Oh, well, it's got
black.
Black, and then you got some of that gray, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's charred black because it's incomplete combustion. That wood didn't totally burn. It's half burnt. It's charred black. So now let's move to the campfire the next morning. You know, had a great night at the campground. Next morning, get up, campfire's totally gone. What color is that ash?
Got white ash.
There you go. That's complete combustion. It's all gone. Everything's gone. It's going to be white, light gray. So that's what we tell our racers. That's how we get them to help them to understand. That's what you should be seeing. When you see that dark black, and I think, Phil, you mentioned this earlier, talking about seeing that black soot in the engine or in that plate, that's what you don't want to have happen.
Makes sense. All right, 316-462-3673. Hey, let's get the phones ringing. We got Ron Finney from Renegade online here, tech support. Anything you want to talk about Renegade, you get this great price package about over $130. We got Nick Roberts still hanging on the line, too, for MH Ford Racing. We got a question for Nick about anything on the drag side at MH Ford Racing. Love to talk to you there, too. Only show I know you get paid to call in on, so let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. The girls will answer at the phone to front desk and get you patched in here real quick. And it looks like we got a question here from Landon. Let's see what Landon got ahead. Regarding oil dilution, what is the best way to determine it is time to change the oil as the oil doesn't have much time on it? Due to fuel consumption, is it becomes noticeably diluted visually and by the smell. Is there a proper way to test this?
Yeah, actually, that's a great question. There are a lot of labs around the country, and certainly any of our oil distributors can do it for you. It's a small test kit. You put the sample in, send it off to the lab, and you can get an analysis of that. And so anybody that's racing, it's great to do that one time to get at least get a baseline of the engine and where it's at, what is normal, so that you can start to kind of compare it. But if you're seeing that fuel wash down, you're getting that. The engine's either, you know, the rings are getting tired, we're not getting a seal, or you've got an engine that's running way too rich. You're putting too much fuel to the motor. It's getting pushed past the rings, diluting the oil down quickly. And as you start spinning that oil, it's hard on bearings and hard on the lubricity of the engine. And well, you know how that ends.
Not good. That's how that ends.
Yeah, not good. Not good. So
what was that? So yeah, that's head south for the winter.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Nick mentioned earlier, you know, the rods coming out. And the bad thing of the rods is it's not bad. Well, it's not good that they come out, but they tend to take the crank, the pan, and the block with them. That's the bad part.
Oh, yeah. Been down that road a few times or two. Trust me.
Yeah. So,
like I said, if you haven't set a few rods south, you haven't got your tip pushed quite as hard as you need to push for, right?
So. That seems to be. The other thing on oil dilution, too, is oil temperature, making sure, you know, we want to keep the oil temperature, you know, in that 230, 240 range, but we also want to get it that high as well, because if we're not getting the engine warm enough, we're not boiling off a lot of these contaminants. You're going to get byproducts in the oil coming past the rings. That's just part of the natural process. And that's one of the reasons that you need to get the engine up to temperature and make sure the oil is getting hot enough so that it does burn some of that stuff off. Otherwise, you'll see a lot of premature dilution of the oil as well.
Works both ways, being too cold and too hot. I mean, the right temperature in there to make that work. Totally get it.
Yeah, it really does. A lot of guys don't understand the warming up of the engines or whatever and the effects that it can have on it. But yeah, it's just as detrimental if it doesn't get warm enough. And we can see that oil go south in a hurry.
very quickly, very south. Okay, let's switch gears. We've been talking a lot about fuels, and I know you've got an oil line too. I haven't studied enough on your oil lines yet too to know what you've got there, but I know you got some good racing oils. So let's switch a little bit now that Landon brought that up about the oil dilution. Let's talk a little bit about your oils that Renegades have, because I know we brought some oil in, and Nick didn't sell the first day. I think it was gone. So we brought some more in from that part. So let's talk and let the listeners know a little bit more about your oils and what you have there.
Yeah, we've got a our lineup of oils. We have our standard mineral based lineup because there's still folks out there that want to run a mineral based product. But of course, today with the synthetic engineering, we know the synthetic products offer some extended life, some better viscosity numbers, additional lubricity. So we do right now we have a semi synthetic blend of oil, and the advantage of the semi synthetic blend is it gives you those additional benefits over a mineral based oil without the full price of a full synthetic blend. If most racers are running, changing their oil frequently enough or whatever, they're changing it way before they would normally. One of the benefits of full synthetic is the extended life. Well, you know, within a racing world, we don't usually take that chance. We want to change that oil a little bit quicker, make sure we got good fresh oil. So our semi-synthetic blends are extremely popular in just about race cars everywhere. The great thing about our oils, they are all alcohol compatible. So if you're running methanol, you're running ethanol, or you're just running race fuel, doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about the oil. It has the protection. It is compatible with all the fuels. And it's a great product with great price points.
Gotcha.
And it's unique in color. But one of the things that when he brought up the oil dilution, one of the things I love about our oil is it's blue in color. And if you recall, a lot of people like the old green oil that Kendall used to have years ago. And of course, it's rebranded now and is another company. But you can kind of see that color change. But once it changed, it just got dark and you couldn't tell anything. The neat thing about our blue oil is it stays translucent even as it dilutes. You'll see some color change. You'll see it darken a little bit, but you can still see through it. So being able to look up through and shine light through it really helps you gauge how diluted that oil is getting, and it helps you make a decision whether you need to change or not.
You know, Ron, you made some good points there too. What I talk about with full synthetics, semi-synthetics, and you know, the most popular thing in the automobile world is the semi-synthetics. That's what we push the most. We sell the most and everything else in that part. You know, years ago, the full synthetics were so expensive, it didn't make sense to my opinion to spend all that extra money on a full synthetic. I told everybody, change your oil twice as often, you'd be so much better off. But now the prices have come down, and the way the full synthetics are there, I do believe the full synthetic is a much better situation. But I disagree with when the manufacturers come out there like Mobil 1, and I'm a big Mobil 1 fan on their full synthetics for automobiles. They want to talk about once a year oil change and going 25,000 miles. That full synthetic does not extend the life of that oil, period. And you made the same comment.
Yeah, that's their claim. And that's the big benefit is the extended life or whatever. But yeah, in a race engine, that's not the way to go. Now, here's the thing about oil that we need to understand about a racing oil versus the OEM world, which is, we were just talking about. So in the OEM world, the EPA has reduced the amount of zinc content in the oil. And that's the component that's given us the protection for the camshaft, the lifters, and the valve train, as well as the rod bearings and main bearings. So back in around 2000, cam manufacturers, Crane, Comcams, everybody, they started having massive cam failures on flat tappet cams, and they couldn't figure out why. Well, the EPA had lowered the zinc content down to 1,200 parts per million. And then again in 2005, it's at the current level of 800 parts per million. You absolutely are not going to keep camshaft lives with that. So a racing oil can have a lot higher zinc content. The zinc disiodophosphate product that's in there, ZDDP. And we have the highest in the industry at 3,000 parts per million across the line in all of our racing oils. So it's going to keep the valve train protected as well as the engine lubricated. And that's what you got to have. Now, the thing with it is a good racing oil is not going to meet the EPA requirements. So our oils are not street legal because they do not have the API symbol. Because to have the API symbol, like the full synthetics do, they got to be 800 parts per million or less. And that just isn't going to cut it on a race engine. Particularly today, when you're looking at valve spring pressure, like my 618's got 1,070 pounds of spring pressure open. You know, we used to call those front springs on our car. Today, they're valve springs.
Exactly. You know, and too, Ron, the flat tappet in the dirt world, in the IMCA world and stuff, they have to run a flat tappet. So some of these listeners are listening about the IMCA motors, and I know we got a caller here, but right in the middle of it, is that flat tappet. I learned the hard way on that situation too already. But so there, IMCA guys, with your crate engines out there, this is an oil you need to be looking at to help protect those flat tappets. So, hey, let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones and talk to Jordan. Jordan, you're live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
That haircut looks nice. Just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you. Styling and profiling. What do they say? Pippin ain't easy.
Okay, well, so anyways, kind of off of the racing world, but into the high-performance fuels aspect, I run a landscaping company, and for the last several years, the hottest trend has been the manufactured fuels, the 40-to-1 and 50-to-1 premix. And I know all the racing fuel industries are kind of getting into that. I'm a huge fan of the Renegade Race Fuels, and I didn't know if that's a product line you carry, and if it is, where can I get it, or will you guys come out with that at some point?
Fantastic question, Jordan, and absolutely, we have it called our Bushwhacker series. We make it in a four-cycle fuel, we make it in a 40-to-1, and we make it in a 50-to-1. We use a full synthetic JSO certified oil product in it. It is a race fuel base. And it's about a 93 to 95 octane, so it supports all the equipment really well. Hugely popular in the landscape industry and so forth. You can get it in a drum, you can get it in a pail, or you can get it in quart cans, and Mel Hamlin Ford can get that product in for you.
All right. Well, Phil, can you order me some then?
I'm definitely will get some for you. And is it, I heard the 30-to-1 and 40-to-1. Is there just one 30-to-1, 40-to-1, or what do we got there?
No, we have a 40-to-1 product. Go ahead, Jordan.
Oh, I was at 40-to-1 is what I run, but 50-to-1 is popular, and then the four cycle stuff's popular too. So,
yeah,
it just depends on what application you're using it in.
Yeah, the 50-to-1 is the most popular, but the 40-to-1 is real popular as well. So we do a 40-to-1, we have a 50-to-1, and then we have the four cycle, which is the non premix for the regular four stroke machines.
Okay, is that coming? What's that coming? Gallons? Is that coming 5 gallons, Ron? Or do you know how that comes for sure?
Yeah, we can get it in quarts, we can get it in 5 gallon pails, or we can get it in drums, however you guys want it. We can provide those quantity levels for you.
Well, Jordan, let's talk after the show. Let's figure out how much you use and whatever and decide if I need to get it in a 55 for you, because I'm sure it's more inexpensive that way. We can sell it to you as you need it, or if you want to do it in the fives or quarts or whatever you might want to do with your landscape business.
Perfect. I'll order some as soon as the show's over. I appreciate it, guys.
Sounds good. Thanks for the call, Jordan.
All right. Bye. Bye.
All right, so 316-462-3673, and again, all kinds of great ideas there, and going to get Nick Roberts back on the phone. We can only take one caller at a time, so I had Nick jump off so we could get Jordan, so I just texted Nick to come back on live there, but you know, that's, again, just learned something right there. I had, you know, again, haven't studied the products enough, Ron, and we're going to keep learning and learning about Renegade and everything else too. So another aspect for you guys out there, if you're listening, and you've got your home products there for your weed whackers, your lawnmowers, all that kind of stuff. And again, you know, you think about those lawnmowers, they go to sleep in the winter and they wake up in the summertime, sludged up, everything else like that. So it'd be a great product to put in those mowers, not to have to worry about winterizing those things too. So anyway, 316-462-3673. Hey, that's the number to dial up in the air. Anything ailing your car, but most importantly, let's get some questions here for Ron and answer some great questions there too. So Ron, what else have we left out?
One thing that makes me think is your Cobra, and you're looking at taking care of that product and all the fine products that you've got there at the dealership. Our car care line is something that was new for us about 3 years ago. And just give you a little background on that. We started developing a partnership. A guy came on board with Doug Parker, who's actually inducted in the NASA Hall of Fame for some of the products that he's developed. So he brought some technology, and we're like, why do we want to do car care? Because he said, we can do things with car care that other companies aren't. So, and in that, one of our most popular is our Speed Shine. And that product was actually designed for NASCAR, is what he designed it for. And it changes the surface tension of the vehicle. So not only is it a quick wipe, you know, like a wipe and shine type product, but it actually will help reduce the surface tension of the vehicle and makes that car slicker and cut through the air better. So that is a hugely successful product for us. But we've got everything from tire shine to speed glass. And interestingly enough, again, we talked about that formulation, and I don't know everything that's in his glass formulation as I do the fuels and lubricant development, but and Buck handles the car care stuff. But I can tell you, we've actually got construction companies now ordering this glass cleaner by the cases because it does such a better job of cleaning the glass off on their equipment and keeping it clean and streak free. for their operators. And that's a world we never would have thought we'd have been in, is cleaning glass on construction equipment. So it's a fantastic product as well.
Well, Nick, you're back on the line with us, aren't you?
Yep.
All right, good. Thanks for hanging up there so we can take Jordan's call. Great call there. If you listen to that or not, if you're still on that deal, but the four-cycle oil bushwhacker, is that what you called it, Ron?
Yeah, it's our bushwhacker series.
We got to make sure we get that stocked up and ready to go here too. Now this glass cleaner, I don't know if we brought any of that in on the initial deal. I know we brought in a lot of different products and stuff on the initial order, Nick, but I think that's something we ought to just take a look at and see how much of that glass
cleaner.
We did. Awesome. Okay, good.
We brought the glass cleaner in and the speed wax. That was two of them that I wanted to try right away. So.
Okay, perfect. So we can get those on track. And then, you know, that's another thing we can look at too, Nick, is going into helping the guys in the lawn care business that they're out there doing that stuff. And Josh, I know you got a good buddy too, doing that too. We need to talk to him about that. Other fuels and stuff from that port to help that situation. Again, I think the best thing is we could go get it in the 55s and be able to sell it by the gallons to the guys, or 5 gallons at a time, however they want. Cause I'm sure it's a lot cheaper in the 55s than it would be in the quarts or the gallon situation for that part too. So, here's another question from Landon Wood here for you, Ron. Is Renegade still making Sparkum Berry fuel scent?
Yes, Sparkum Berry. Absolutely. That is hugely popular. That is our number one seller of our fuel scent line. And we've got a number of different fuel scents. But yeah, Sparkum Berry by far outsells everything 3-1. Love that stuff.
So it actually, and I've not really played too much around with any fuel scents. Nick, I don't know if you have either on that part, but does it really change the smell of the exhaust coming out that car?
Oh, yes, yeah. It does. Yeah.
So what is a Sparkum Berry scent?
Not getting
I'm sorry,
yeah. Well, what is a Sparkum Berry scent? What does that smell like?
It's kind of a, like, it's a kind of a multi-berry flavor. It's kind of hard to describe. It's not really cherry. It's not really grape. It's not really strawberry. It's kind of a mix of everything. It's kind of a unique, I think that's why it's so popular. It's just kind of a unique smell. It's hard to describe. But I've never met anybody yet that doesn't love it.
Well, Nick, have you experimented with any of this, any kind of fuel scents ever? I've never have done that.
Yeah, we carry some other brands in, and I use it in my, I had it in my Harley, and we put it in our razors, and we go play in the desert, and then I was for a while there mixing it with my Hall to know we were testing brand versus brand, so you could pick it up and remember which one was which. But yeah, it definitely adds a lot of smell to it, and I know, like, on the methanol cars, that smell gets to a lot of people really nauseating, and the fuel smell kind of helps that with a lot of people. So it's definitely pretty popular.
Yeah. Landon here says, take the grape and it makes it 50 times better. And then he says, very distinct. Nothing else smells like it. Okay. I guess I don't know. My sense of smell isn't the greatest anymore. So I don't know how much I'll smell it or whatever too. So
if you're the lead car, you don't really smell it. So what does it matter?
And there's no performance deterioration or anything from putting that stuff in there, huh?
No, the products are totally miscible in under the fuels and alcohol or gasoline, and yeah, it doesn't take a lot of it. They're a small bottle, and it goes to a lot of different gallons, so it really has no impact at all on performance.
And then converter safe, or
is catalytic converter safe. Yeah,
good.
Well, Josh, you gonna put some of that in your Corvette? I think you're okay. Let's go to Josh's situation. He's got, what year is your car again?
16 Z06,
right?
Yeah.
Yep. So what fuel should Josh be running in his stock Z06?
The P97, same thing as yours, or the 102. So, like I said, if he's going to crank that thing up and run it hard, I'd probably go ahead and run the 102 in it. That way, it will definitely not be pulling timing or anything else on him when he's flat out.
So 102 is what is your optimal premium fuel you think I should be putting in both these cars?
Yeah, for those cars that have that power level or power potential, whatever, I like the 102 in it, because then you've got plenty. You're out in the Midwest, you got a lot of heat in there, you get in the dog days of summers, you're flogging the thing hard. You got plenty of octane protection, but it's not so much that in the cooler weather you'd have issues with combustion. So it's a great, robust product that I really like in those cars.
Beautiful. You know, the other thing
you're probably... you're probably going to want to just go ahead and pulley swap and put that car on E85, because you don't want the MH Ford Mustang to be that much faster than the GT500. So it might need a pulley swap and some Pro E85 by the end of the year.
Yeah, I hear you, but probably most likely not going to happen. I don't know, see how I get along with that car and go from here to there. But like I said, I don't have much time to play with it either. But it's a fun car to drive. It's the most funnest car of everything I've ever drove. Not trying to brag on the car that I own, but I tell you, it's the funnest thing I've ever drove, from all the Ferraris, the Jags, and everything else from that thing. It is just something unique, and a lot of it is that transmission. I mean, that transmission is unbelievable, what that thing can do and how quick it can shift and stuff too, by far. So, but anyway, hey, Ron, we are running just about out of time. I don't know where this hour goes. Josh and I talk about it many times. We ought to turn this show into a two-hour show, but just a couple minutes left on the show. Is there anything we've left out about Renegade? Just excited to bring on your products, bring them into MH Ford Racing, and give our racers a – you know, the best way I describe this, Ron, is, you know, we're the Hoosier tire distributor for Kansas, Colorado, Nebraska. So, you know, naturally I want to push Hoosier tires, but we have MH Ford Racing that sells everything for every racer. So we sell the American racers in there. We sell the Mickey Thompson or two, but again, want to sell the Hoosiers as much as possible. But again, Renegade just fills another gap that we were looking for about a year ago with our VP in Sunoco, and just excited for this partnership with Renegade and what we can do to help sell more product, but most importantly, give the racer a better experience at the racetrack and give them what they need from that part. And so is there anything at all that we left out that any of the racers might be listening out there or whatever, or listen to this podcast later, can pick up on anything that we left out?
Well, just one thing, you know, as we talked about, you know, we feel we have some competitive advantages in a product line, and most companies do. But one of the things is, as I mentioned earlier, we're there for the sportsman racer. We're there to support the racer as well as the dealer distributor. So anytime, any of your racers, anybody out there, whether you're a racer, high performance enthusiast, whatever, anytime, give us a call on the tech line. You'll always get us. We stay busy. We answer a lot of questions. We do a lot of education. We do a lot of things to help the racers. That's what I do, and happy to talk to anybody and answer questions, help make recommendations, or just help them understand things a little bit better. We're happy to do that anytime. Give us a call. If we happen to be tied up on the line, leave a message. We'll always call you back. And I had to laugh. We do some seminars out your way, and one of the guys stood up and says, "Hey, man, when you say he can call you anytime, he will call you anytime. He's called me at 11 o'clock before," and that's true. If you need a call back, I'm going to call you back. You know, if I'm busy right now, I won't be after a while. I will get the call back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Customer service is key from that part. So again, Ron, just very excited for what we're going to do with Renegade this year. Nick, I know you're excited to have it in our store to be able to sell it and talk to different people about that product. I'm always missing that, a little bit of a gap there for some of our racers from that part, but just very excited where we're going to go and everything else from that part too. So Ron, again, can't thank you enough for hanging out with us this hour. We've also talked about a little bit, maybe when you are closer to us, to be live sitting here in the studio with us, or maybe we can come to you where you're at or whatever. We take this show mobile, been all over with the country with this show, different things we can do too. So maybe if you're close, we can meet you somewhere and have the show there live and be live here on the show with us. We can have a lot of fun with that part of the two. And then if we get going down the road, we think we need to have some of these, a tech seminar here, to store or whatever, be great for that too, from that standpoint also.
Yeah, we'll be glad to do it. Just let us know whatever we can do to support you or your racers. That's who we are.
Okay. Well, anyway, Ron, thanks for talking to us. Thanks for hanging out with us for this hour. Nick, thanks for chiming in there a couple times with us and everything else. And everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Everybody have a great Saturday, but let's go through and thank our sponsors real quick of who helps us keep this show live and going. Of course, it's Big Corner Caretti for all your advertising needs. Hey, if you need anything for a web page design, vehicle wraps, window wraps, race car wraps, anything to advertise your business or anything to make your vehicle look better. I was down at Big Corner just yesterday, and there's a gentleman in there at the GMC Silverado pickup getting it ready to get wrapped up and stuff. Our ice cream truck's getting ready to go back online that just got wrapped down at Big Corner Creative. So just Google those guys, as they say. BG Products, all the great preventative maintenance products we use right inside here at Mill Hamilton Ford. And, of course, GoToRent. Hey, if you're looking for a rental car, 12 or 15-passenger van, give Stan a call right inside here at Mill Hamilton Ford. Hey, everybody, have a great Saturday. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Saturday.